Today, I'm going to be finishing up my series on Secrets of the Vine, that beautiful book by Bruce Wilkerson on John 15, and the reality that we are all branches grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ, and as you and I abide in that relationship over time, that we will bear fruit, fruit of love and joy and peace, and we'll go through different experiences as we do that, and that really it's all good as we abide in the Lord. And today, in closing with you, I want to speak on the whole area of joyful abundance and kind of framing the idea that out of John 15 and Bruce's book on this particular chapter, God's desire for us is that our lives would be joyfully abundant, realizing that life is really a series of ups and downs, that life is something in which we experience so many different things as part of being a human being. But ultimately, the Lord is bringing us into a joyful abundance. He begins sharing about this in a very interesting way. He begins sharing about a man by the name of Jabez. And some of you may have remember a study we did a number of years ago on this. But actually, Jabez's name in Hebrew means pain. Could you imagine what it would be like going through life with a name that means pain? That your mother gave you the name Pain. You know, some of us kind of wondered about that growing up, whether we were a pain or not, but Jabez had no doubt. I mean, he was given the name Pain. Could you imagine that? It's almost like a boy named Sue. You remember that Johnny Cash song? And so anyways, his name was Pain, and yet we read in the Bible this wonderful story of faith on the part of Jabez. He had the courage and the grace to pray in the dust of his life, in the midst of great struggle, and in the midst of having a name of all things being named Pain, that God would abundantly bless his life. His prayer is actually found in 1 Chronicles 4:10. If you want to write that down and look at it later, it's a wonderful prayer. It's probably one of the shortest prayers in the Bible that received the quickest answer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Beautifully short, incredibly simple, captures our attention. And what a quick answer. God blessed him in that way. And actually, Jabez's prayer is that he would bear fruit, that his life would be abundantly blessed, and that his life would be blessed for his good, for the good of God and the good of those around him. And in Secrets of the Vine and in John 15, it's revealed how God changes us, changes our lives, so that our lives can be increasingly fruitful and abundant for him. And so my question for you and me here this morning, as we draw to a close in this series on an abundant life, is your life, would it be characterized by the phrase joyfully abundant? Does your life look like that? Does that describe you? And are you in maybe the season of discipline right now as you go toward a life of joyful abundance? You know, in some way, maybe your life isn't bearing fruit. Maybe it's in a particular area or a couple of areas. And God is trying to get your attention. And one of the beautiful things we learn in this series is that God will lift up that branch, that part of you that's in the dirt, that's soiled, maybe with sin or whatever it might be, and will wash you and I off by his grace. And as part of the discipline, he will attach us more firmly to him, rooted more deeply in him, that we might grow closer to him on the journey toward more fruitfulness. Maybe you're in a season of pruning. And again, one of the wonderful things we learned about pruning is that pruning is not the horrible thing that you and I thought it was, but it is a good thing. And people do it all the time that tend plants. They get rid of the dead parts of the branch. Maybe they cut away other parts of the branch that really aren't doing much at all. And they leave the rest of the branch on there so that it might be more fruitful. Pruning is never a pleasant experience, but it is a very important thing that a branch goes through on its journey to becoming more fruitful. You see, again, one of the things we kind of had fun with a few weeks ago was the reality of us saying out loud that God's desire for our lives is that we would be more fruitful. And God is so intent on that and so committed to that, that he's willing to put us through a lot of different things to get to that place. Maybe you're in a season of abiding in the Lord, where you have gone through these other disciplines, and the invitation to you is enjoying the Lord's presence. Let me share this with you, which it might seem really strange, but I really have found it to be true in my life and in the lives of others. One of the most challenging things for a Christian to do is to learn to abide in the Lord's presence, to just be there. Again, one of the things that you and I have a propensity to do is we'll enjoy some of our time there, but we'll immediately begin to think of other things we could be doing. We'll begin to be tempted by other things that we really have enjoyed that may be sinful or patterns in our life that really aren't helpful. And those things will begin to draw us away from abiding in the Lord's presence, and we'll fall and we'll sin and we'll come back to him. We'll be washed clean and abide more deeply in him again. But you see, one of the most difficult things for you and me to do is to learn the joy and the pleasure and the peace and the grace of just abiding with him and being with him. It really is a lifelong lesson. And I just want to let you know, it's okay. Embrace the lesson, be open to that lesson, and realize that that's the ultimate destiny for you and me, is to learn what it is like to enjoy his presence and also to allow him to enjoy our presence as well. One of the things you and I need to be aware of as we reflect on John 15 today is that there is something that can rob us of our fruitfulness more quickly than anything else, and that is fear. Again, one of the things we need to realize is that we're encouraged to be fruitful, to be thankful, to be joyful. We heard it in our second lesson today in Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is God's will for your life? Well, I can honestly say that is part of God's will for your life as you read that. He wants you to be rejoicing. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to give thanks in all circumstances and to believe that whatever you're going through, God is going to bring you out to the other end, and it'll all work for your good and according to his purposes. And so one of the things that can rob us of that in our journey is fear. Fear is a very powerful force in the lives of many different people. And what fear does is it can paralyze us, can fill us full of anxiety. It can block us and really cut off our fruitfulness with God. You remember the story with me of Peter. Peter and the disciples were in a boat going across to the other side on the Sea of Galilee because Jesus told them to. And as they're going across, they became immediately afraid because they saw what appeared to them to be a ghost. And Jesus said to him, "Hey guys, don't be afraid, it's me." And you remember Peter's words. Peter's words were, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." Now, why he would ever say that, I have no idea. But Peter was just that kind of a guy. And actually, I think it was inspired by the Holy Spirit because of what happened. And what did Jesus say? What did he say? Come. Oh, my. You know, he didn't remember this. He didn't say stay in the boat. I'm going to get to that in a moment. He didn't say stay in the boat. He said come. And Peter got out of the boat and was the second person in the history of the world to walk on water. As he walked on water, can you imagine his surprise? Can you imagine his joy? And then something else in the scripture, very interesting as you read it, it says, he saw the wind. Now again, you have to think about this for a moment. You don't usually see the wind. You see the effects of the wind, like the leaves blowing and stuff like that. But Peter was out on the water, so what this means is that it must have been an incredible wind blowing, and he saw the waves and some of the salt spray going past his eyes, and he became afraid. We would all become afraid in that kind of situation, especially out in the middle of the water where the boat's way back here and Jesus is still out there. And it says he began to sink, and he sank. And Jesus, being the lifeguard that he is, came and immediately rescued Peter out of the water and brought him back to the boat and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I say, my gosh, Peter walked on the water. That's huge. That was great. Big step. But you see what happened for Peter. Peter was bearing fruit. He was excited. He was joyful. He was walking on the water. But then he began to be afraid. He saw the wind, and he began to sink. And that's what happens to you and me. We see something. We experience something that makes us afraid. And our eyes go to that. We take our eyes off the Lord. And right at that moment is when we begin to sink. I was just praying with somebody the other day when we were visiting them and praying with them. Wasn't even aware that this person was struggling with this problem, but just began to pray over this person about a spirit of fear. And this person acknowledged that was happening and also began to pray over this person for some healing of her stomach, because usually these two pieces are related. Fear and anxiety usually go together with gastrointestinal problems. There's usually a link because one affects the other. And began to pray with her and just began to pray that God would bring healing in her spirit in relationship to fear and anxiety. It had been a lifelong battle for her. And we're just believing with God that God did a wonderful, miraculous healing in her life. And what I want to say to each one of you here today that struggle with fear and anxiety on any level, you've come to the right place today. And the reason why you've come to the right place is that the Lord can bring healing to your life in that area. And the Lord wants to bring you from a place of fear and anxiety and worry and sinking to a place of walking on the water. Get out of your boat. I'm saying this in faith. I believe it's coming from Jesus. Get out of your boat. That's the first step. We like our boat, Father Joe. I love my boat. I've never been out of my boat, thank you very much. I don't want to walk on water. I'm not even interested in it. Hasn't even crossed my mind till I came to this service this morning. That's why you're here. Get out of your boat. He's calling you. Get out of your boat. Start walking on the water. Press into him with this faith. We're gonna pray in just a little bit and ask the Lord just to deliver you from your fear and anxiety. You see, God wants you to be joyfully abundant. He wants you to be full of faith and trust and grace in him. He wants you to experience in your life what it is like for him to deliver you from your fear and anxiety. You see, I know that I can't do it. I know that you can't do it. But I know that we serve a deliverer who can do it, who can give us the ability to do things that are humanly impossible, but very much possible in him. And you will not be able to do the things that God is calling you to do unless you step out of your boat and begin to walk in faith to him. And turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You see, we just need to turn our attention by his grace to his face. In a whole new direction. And everything else, especially the things of the earth, will assume their proper place under your feet as you walk upon the water in faith. It's never too late to begin to walk into this. One other thing I want to say to you about this is be joyful. Again, I think this is a very important point of some of the things I've shared with you over the past few weeks. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I have a homework assignment for you this week. Do it alone. You don't need to have anybody see you do this. It's kind of weird, but it's okay. I won't know whether you do it or not, but I'm really praying that you will. And I began it this morning because I gave it to the 5 o'clock service last night. The homework assignment is this. In the morning, when you wake up, whenever that is, the first thing I'd like you to do is to go to the mirror. Make sure the light's turned on so you can see your beautiful face. Whatever condition you're in the morning, could be before makeup and all that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. It's not what it's about. Go to the mirror, and the thing I want you to do is smile. You can do that right now. I invite you to smile right now. Smile. There you go. Boy, I had to fight with some people last night to smile. I was patient, though. I was patient. And when you after you smile and you look in the mirror a little bit, right? Smile. There you go. There you go. I want you to say this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I want you to begin your day like that. Start your day like that. That's the scripture to you. That's a word of hope and a word of promise. And it's a very important connection that you and I still have yet to make. We need to realize that the joy of the Lord in the depth of our hearts is a strength. It's not just joy. It's not just being happy clappy, as they say in England. It's not just being full of a false hope. But the word says to us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't know about you, but I need to experience that more deeply and profoundly. And so I want you to start your day out like that in the morning. Then guess what? In the evening, before you go to bed, I want you to do one more thing. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the mirror. We're going to turn on the light. We're going to smile. And we're going to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. One more time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then we're going to go to bed. Have a good night's rest. Now, there's one other part to this homework assignment that I have for you. Sometime during this week, you're not going to be feeling very joyful. In fact, you're going to be thinking about this message and saying, oh, Father Joe, you know what? I'm in the most horrible moment of my life right now. And the joy of the Lord is not my strength. In fact, I feel really angry, I'm upset, I'm struggling, and I'm angry at God. I encourage you, in that moment, to step out of your boat in faith. And in faith, say to the Lord, Lord, your joy is my strength right now. I don't like what I'm going through. I hate it. But I'm doing this because this crazy priest on Sunday told me to do this. And I'm going to say to you in faith, and I'm believing that your joy is my strength. And his joy will be your strength. Because what you and I do in that moment as we make that step of faith, as we step out of our boat, is we're inviting the presence of the Lord into that disastrous moment to experience his joy as our strength and inviting divine intervention to occur in what is going on. That's exactly what's happening. And it will change your life and my life. Do you want more abundance? More is always possible, but you're going to have to do something opposite of what you're currently doing. What is insanity? It's doing the same thing and expecting a different result. You got to stop that. You and I got to stop that. We need to start doing something different. That's why I'm giving you this crazy thing to do during this week. It's something completely out of your comfort zone. It's something many of you have never ever done before. And it's exactly what you need. You need to change. You need to do the exact opposite of what you've always done, that you might enter in more fully to the abundance that God has always wanted to give you. You have to cooperate with God's ways and respond in obedience and trust. No matter what season of fruit you may be in, when you look at the Father's face, Bruce shares, I hope you see what Peter did when he clambered, dripping and hopeful, out of the water that day. He saw a breakfast of mercies waiting and a future as big as God's love. That is God's future for you and me. That is God's destiny for you and me. Even at times when we come up out of the water, dripping wet, breakfast will be waiting for us. A breakfast of God's love and grace and mercy and encouragement.